Well, good morning, and once again, happy Mother's Day to all our mothers that are here today. As far as Mother's Day is concerned, we are going to have a message this morning, believe it or not, about moms, but I do want to say that even though it is Mother's Day and it's geared toward women and to mothers, it doesn't mean that the men can go to sleep, although some of you probably will. Yeah, I see, I saw that coming. But everything that I say today can be applied to all of us, whether we are mothers or not. So you have no reason not to listen. So anyway, we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. That's what we're going to read this morning. We actually will have a few other passages that we will look at as well, some shorter passages. But the title of the sermon this morning is The Gift of Mom. And any of us that have the pleasure of having a good mother, and fortunately, and I want to make sure I didn't put the UN on that, fortunately, most women that are mothers are good mothers. We know there are some that are not, sadly. But most women are good mothers and are very loving. And any of us that have had the privilege of having one like that knows that a mother that is a good mother is nothing short of a gift from God. That is what they are. Our mothers are a gift from God. And so this morning we're going to talk about the gift of mom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read the passage. Father, we do thank you for the women you've put in our lives, our mothers that have cared for us and carried us so far in our lives through their love and devotion and support. And as we honor them today, may we not forget, as great as they are and as thankful as we are to have them, that our life centers around you, that you are the most important thing, and that you bless us with people like that in our lives to help us, to shape us, to mold us into the people and that we become. And we just know that all the way around, it is all about you. And we thank you for what you do in their lives, and as we study who it is and what a mother is and what a mother can be, may we remember that it is you that makes us that way and that we can apply all this to our lives. Just speak to us now as we hear this message. Give me, Lord, the words to speak, dear Lord, that whatever is said will come from you and flow from your throne. And we just love you and we thank you again for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 through 38, if you will please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Thank you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be the son of the highest, and the Lord shall give him unto the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said unto her, How can this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. May God bless the reading of the word this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 30, it tells us, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. As I said, it is nothing short of a gift. It is a gift to have a great mother. It is not a requirement. It is not a right. It is not even a privilege. It is a gift. I know that I had two grandmothers. One is still living and one passed away in 2000. But I'm still honored to have my mother living. She's not here today, obviously. She lives in Florida, but she is still living, and I try not to think about anything else than her living. But I guess I know one day that could happen, that God will take her home. But for now, I have her with me, and I know that I am one of those that is blessed. I won't say more blessed than you, because I'm sure you all would take issue to that. But I know that I am. To have a mother that loves me, that takes care of me, that has sacrificed in ways that I'll never know and understand. I mean, I'm starting to, 31 years old, I'm just now starting to figure out the sacrifices that her and my dad did make for me and the rest of my siblings. But I don't think I'll ever fully know and understand completely all that she's done for me in my life. All I can do is thank for what she's done, and I'm going to have to stop talking about my mom. But anyway, I'm thankful for the mother that God has put in my life. But I want you also to understand this morning that not only is a mother a gift, but we need to understand what it says here in verse 30, that she is highly favored from God. Now, we know that Mary was a little different. As much as you all love your children, none of you gave birth to the Savior. So, Jesus was the most important person that ever was born, and Mary, let's face it, that was a distinct privilege she had to not only have a child, but to be the mother of the Son of God. But I still think that in some ways we can take what it says in verse 30 and apply that to ourselves, and in particular the mothers here today, that you have children. The reason you have children is because you were favored by God. I hope that there's no woman in here that has given birth biologically to a child that doesn't understand that is a blessing, to be able to give birth to a child. Because I can attest to the fact that there are some women that cannot have biological children. They are unable to have biological children. So the very fact that you gave birth with your husband to a child means that God has favored you. That is a blessing in and of itself. And he has given unto you a distinct responsibility of taking a human life that is valued above anything else that we know. There's nothing on this earth more valuable than the human life. Well, you would hope. I think for most of us, we would say that. Obviously, for not everyone, that's true. But if you look in our society and you look at the way we all are, human life is more valuable than anything. And you have been given a responsibility as mothers to raise those children, to raise those humans, to become the people that God would have them to be. Now, obviously, there comes time when your children make their own decisions. They become, as we say, too smart for their own good. They start to figure things out, and they think they know everything. Obviously, they don't. But there still comes a time where they make their own decisions, and you can only do so much at that point, but you are still responsible in shaping them and molding them the way God would have you to do. And that is all the responsibility of a mother. But I think the first thing that we need to understand is that a good mother is a godly woman. You can't be a good mother. You can't be the mother you are intended to be unless you are a godly woman. Now, I know that there are women that are mothers that are not Christian. Now, am I saying they're bad mothers? Not necessarily, but they're not the mothers that they are intended to be. They are not the best mothers they can be. And now, a non-Christian woman hearing me say that would throw so many things at me, it wouldn't be funny. But that's my opinion, and that's the way I understand it, that you can't even be the best person you're going to be. You're not a good person unless you were born again Christian. I mean, that's just, we're corrupted in sin, so until Christ saves us and gives us his righteousness, we are not good people. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. But anyway, so to be the best mother, you must be a godly woman. And to be a godly woman means that you are favored. That is one thing that it means, I believe, that you are favored by God, that you have been endowed with a special honor to carry a child, to give birth to that child, to raise that child. There's something unique about you that God has seen, that He sees you fit to raise one of His children. It is a uniqueness that is good. It is something that only women can do, obviously, and men cannot, to bear a child, to give birth to a child. It is an unparalleled thing that women are able to do, and the bond that they have with their children, I have here in my notes that a mother is a shining jewel in the young life of a person, but the rock in the older life of that person. And that, I know that's what my mom has become with me, and that is something that you have to be a special person to have that kind of ability to be a mother. And you do have to be favored by God. You do have to be given that privilege and honor to be a mother by God. And so the first thing about being a godly woman is that you are favored by God, meaning you are going to be God. You are serving God. You are worshiping God. But also, not only are you favored, but you are blessed by God. You have been given great things. You have been given a good lot in life to have children, to bear children. You have been well thought of and provided for by God, that He has made you and has made you capable of being a mother and given you the ability to be a mother. And that is a blessing. Not only does it mean your favor, but it is a blessing that God has conditioned you through your life and your experiences to be the mother that He wants you to be. And that is a blessing on top of every other blessing that we get. Is to be the person that God would have us to be. And that is a blessing to be a mother. But then, as I said also, a mother being a godly woman, she belongs to the Lord. You look at verse 38 of the passage we read, Luke 1. It says, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. But Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Of course, that meaning is, the handmaid, the idea of the handmaid being the servant, the one that would wait on, the one that would serve, the one that would belong to a higher authority, a higher person. There would have been a lord in her life. A handmaid would have a lord that everything he said to do, she would do, whether it was, I don't know what they did back then, wash his clothes or whatever. Whatever it was she was required to do, she was his servant. And she did it without question. She did it without asking. She did it without regret or remorse. She did whatever she was told to do. She was a servant. She was a handmaid. She belonged to the Lord, to the man that she was under, the little L, lowercase L Lord. Well, for a mother today, you belong to the Lord, uppercase L, the big L Lord. That being the true God. He is your God. You are His servant. You belong to Him. You are the handmaid of the Lord. And that's all you are. You are a servant of God, again, giving birth and raising His human, His creation. I mean, God is, you have to look at it that way, that it is, your children are the creation of God. And He values their life. And He expects, He doesn't ask, He doesn't hope, He expects that you will treat them the way He would have you to treat them, to raise them properly. They are your children, you are required by God, and it's not a matter of opinion or option, it is a requirement to raise your children in the right way. God has entrusted that to you, and you belong to Him, you are His servant. You are His. And that means that you serve Him, that means that you are a Christian, and it means that you do as He wants you to do. So women, the first thing that we need to learn, that you need to learn this morning, is that you need to allow the godliness of your life to be the best attribute that you have. To allow the godliness that God has given to you to make you, number one, to realize I belong to God. God, I am His servant in all areas of my life, not just where it comes to my children, but I am His servant, and to realize that I am blessed and I am favored by God, and you have a responsibility. Think of your children as a responsibility, as a blessing, yes, and as something that you love, yes, but a responsibility, a requirement to raise from God. There are too many women that don't care for their children properly. And there's nothing that irritates me more when I hear of a woman that has nothing to do with their children, because they are not just something. They're not a loaf of bread or a pet at the pet store or at the petting zoo or whatever. That's not what they are. They are a requirement from God to take care of. And your godliness, the godliness that God has given you, should drive you, should make you serve Him in that way of raising your children. You must be, to be a good mother, you need to be a godly woman, favored of God, blessed of God, belonging to God. Allow the godliness that He has put in you to lead you in your life as a mother. But not only is a good mother a godly woman, but a good mother is also concerned for her children. There can be nothing else for a mother than to have concern for her care. Not worry. I'm not talking about worry. We're not supposed to worry, although we do. And I say we. I don't know why I'm saying we. But anyway, I guess all of us worry about our children if we have them. But I know mothers do, above all. Mothers worry about their children. We shouldn't. You shouldn't worry. But Jesus talks about that. But I think there is a difference between worry and concern. Because if you're not concerned, then you don't care. And then that's the problem in and of itself. So a good mother is concerned for her children. But what does that mean in being concerned? Let me read Luke chapter 2, and you don't have to follow along if you don't want to, but Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 51. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, and let me stop there, because you're lost in the middle of nowhere in the passage. This is the passage where they had gone to the temple. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus and that family had gone to the temple. Remember, Mary and Joseph left, and Jesus didn't go with them. He was 12 years old, and he stayed in the temple. And he was talking to the temple leaders and the Pharisees in the temple. And Mary and Joseph looked around. And, you know, Mary looked at Joseph and said, "Do you have Jesus?" And he said, "No." And Joseph looked at Mary and said, "Do you have Jesus?" He said, "No." And they didn't have him. They had gone. They had left Jesus at the temple. Remember that story? They didn't know where he was. So they went back to the temple, and there he was in the temple. And that's where we are in this passage. And they come back to the temple, and they said, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought for thee, sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist not that you must, that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not what he was saying when he spoke unto him. And he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And it's the idea they came back to get him. Now, obviously, this passage has much deeper meaning than what I'm giving it today. But to take the angle that Mary went back, you know, she came back and said, "We were sorrowful and looking for you." In other words, that we were sorry and we were beside ourselves. It's kind of the, you know, you go to the grocery store and you bend down to pick up a Nestle Crunch bar or whatever. You turn around and your kid's gone, you know. And you don't know where he is, and he's gone to the toy section usually. Just to give you a hint, if you've got a son and you can't find him, go to the toys. That's probably where he is. I don't know about girls. I go to the makeup, I guess. But for boys, go to the toy section or the electronics, one or the other. For me, electronics. That's where I would be. You're not going to find me in the hunting and fishing gear. You won't. If you look for me there, you'll never find me. But find me in electronics. But anyway, that's chasing the white rabbit or whatever that Mickey says, running the rabbit. That's running the rabbit. So we're going to get back to the sermon. But anyway, she cared. She was looking for him. They were looking for him. Her concern was for her son. And, you know, and you can imagine the panic. I cannot imagine. But any of you mothers here can imagine the panic she was feeling, and fathers too. You can imagine what they felt. Where is he? And when they went and found him, you know, they, okay, we're safe. But the idea is that she, when she thought something was wrong, she tried to fix it. I've got to find my child. I've got to go to where he is. I've got to take care of him. I've got to keep him safe. And the love that the mother has propels her. It pushes her to care for her child, to be protective of her children. And the interesting thing about the idea of that concern, because concern does lead to protection. That's what mothers are very protective. And it's always interesting to me, one thing about the animal kingdom is that animals are that way. Mothers in the animal kingdom are very protective. And they, you know, where one animal may never be able to compete against another, a mother will still try if you mess with her kids. You know, there's not a bird in this world that I'm scared of, but it'll peck my nose off if I mess with her nest. You know, so, I mean, I can beat it any time. I can swat it away, shoot it, or whatever. Well, I don't know that I could shoot it, but some of you men probably could. I'd have to use a fly swatter or something. But any bird, you know, I'm bigger than any bird, but they're going to come after you. You mess with their nest, because that's just the mother's instinct, and that goes across every line of mothership. And even and human mothers are different, that you're protective. And that just means one thing, that you care and you're concerned for the safety of your children. You know, it's not just about feeding them. I mean, we all know that. You got to feed them. But it's taking care of them, keeping them safe, and watching over their well-being, having concern for who they are, carrying the burden with them, you know. And that's another part of the concern for them, is carrying their burdens. You know, I remember, I don't know how you feel about O.J. Simpson. Of course, popular running back at one time. He was known as a great running back. Now I think he's pretty much known as a criminal. But you know who O.J. Simpson is, I'm guessing you know. If you don't remember, go back to, like, WALB archives, 1995, around May or June, and look at the video of somebody being chased in a white Ford Bronco. That's O.J. Simpson. The trial went on for months. And anyway, if you remember back at that time, they chased him down that day and got to his house, and we all sat there, I don't know why, for 3 hours looking at a house from a bird's eye view. But if you remember, the cops finally went in there and arrested him or whatever. But I remember one of the things they said that he was allowed to have, which was kind of funny. They said orange juice. He was out at, they gave him a glass of orange juice. I don't know how I remember this. It was 13 years ago. But they let him have a glass of orange juice, you know, OJ. And then they said that they let him call his mother. They let him call his mother. We let him have a glass of orange juice, and he was allowed to call his mom. The only person on earth at that point that would have anything to do with him was his mother. You know, he was accused of murder. We know he got off, but accused of murder. Nobody liked him, chased by the cops on national television. And I mean literally national television. And yet the one person he knew he could call was his mother. And she still cared. She was still concerned. Was she happy about what he had done or allegedly had done? Probably not. Well, I'm sure not. But it was still her child. She was still concerned. She still wanted to bear the burden of her son. Bear that. She probably would have gone to prison. Well, he didn't go to prison. But if he would have, she probably would have gone for him to bear that burden. Because that's the mother's instinct, to bear the burden, to love them, to care for them, to be concerned for them. You know, I heard another story one time, and I don't know this person's name, but it was a lady over in one of the third world countries. They said, I don't even remember where I saw it now, I just remembered it because it hit me when they said it, but this lady sold her kidneys to feed her children, sold both of her kidneys to feed her children. Now, that's mother's love right there. I mean, I'm sure some of you women would do that. I guess you would. I don't know. But she did. And that's undying love. That's concern. That's bearing the burden of your kids, that you would be willing to put your life at risk so that they could have just one more meal or you know, one more thing of medicine or whatever it is. That's the mother's instinct. To be concerned for a kid. Not worry, but concern. Yeah, I think that's different. You care about them. And we must have, I don't think I need to tell any woman here to have concern for their kids. So, but that's the application. Be concerned for your children. But then the final thing that we'll see, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to spend on this one because I'm already getting emotional, so I might have to quit. But John 19, a good mother is always there. A good mother is always there. In John 19, 25, 26, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus said unto her, behold, Jesus said, saw his mother and disciples standing there, whom he loved, and he said unto him, woman, behold thy son. And then he said to his disciple, behold thy mother. But what I want you to see in this passage is that when Jesus was on the cross, dying and suffering physical pain, yes, definitely physical pain, but even more so than that, the spiritual pain of bearing the sins of all people. In the midst of all of that, his mother was still there. She was not ashamed of him. She did not love him any less. She wasn't afraid that someone might arrest her because she was his mother. It didn't matter to her. She wanted to be where her son was. She stood by his side till the bitter end of his death. The emotional healing comes from our mothers, that doesn't. I mean, the love of a mother, when no one else seems to care, they always do. They're always there. And I know that I can always call my mom and tell her anything and probably use any word I want to use, good or bad. And she might get on to me, but she'd listen. She'd love me because she cares about who I am. And she's always there. You know, I'm sure if I got in a wreck, I hope it never happened, went to the hospital, if they fly to me to London, she'd be on the next plane to London as soon as she could to be there, to be by my side. And I'm sure you feel that way about your children. And that's the way Mary was for her son. She was a good example, a good role model for women, for mothers, because she was always there for them, weeping at their pain and trying to do what she could to heal them, always by their side, always, again, carrying those burdens. The mother is always there for her children. Despite what they do, maybe there comes times you gotta let them learn about life. You know, they make decisions that they shouldn't make and that you don't like. But sometimes you just gotta let them, hand them over to the consequences kind of thing, and let them see what it's like to go through. But it doesn't mean you care any less, because I've seen news broadcasts about parents that said, you know, they had a son that committed a crime and they were the ones that turned their son in. They said, well, and they always would say, he's got to learn and we're going to make sure he learns. We hated to do it, but he had to go to jail. And I've seen parents on news TV say, we turned our son in or we turned our daughter in. And it's not because they hated him, it's because they realized that might be the only way they can help. And you'll go to your wit's end, but it's whatever it is, through child. It may not seem to the child that it's loving, but it is loving. A mother is always there. A mother is always caring. What about you this morning? I don't think I need to say, are you a caring mother? That would be an insult to many of you ladies that are here today. But well, are you a caring mother? I guess it is. I don't mean to be what has God spoken to you about this morning? You know, a lot of this is instinctual. It's not anything that's new to any of you. A lot of it is instinctual, but what is it that God is doing in your life? And maybe you're not a mother. Maybe you're a father here this morning. You're saying, you know, I haven't cared the way I need to for my children. I haven't been there for them. I haven't bore their burdens the way I need. We need to learn to do that, not just for our children, but for each other. But I don't know what God has spoken to you, what he has put in your life. Whatever he wants to do, I pray this morning you'll be obedient to him in that. Our hymn invitation this morning is number 330, that's Amazing Grace, title that to him. Whatever God wants to do, allow him to do it. Father, we thank you for our mothers here this morning. We thank you for putting them in our lives, letting them be a part of our lives, and letting us be a part of their lives. We thank you that you've set up the relationship that you have between a mother and child, and how great and blessed it is to be a part of that for many of us. And God, I pray for every mother here today, and I know many of them are caring, and they don't need to be told they need to care, but Sometimes we can get away from that. Sometimes we can lax away and become selfish and let ourself get in between what we're supposed to do for you and also for our family. And I just pray that we would stay strong and supportive and that every woman here would be the mother they need to be on a daily basis. Even when they're tired, even when they're fed up with things, they will remain strong in you. And God, not just for our mothers, but for every person, every man, every woman, father, mother, or not, Lord, may we be towards others the person you want us to be and reach out to every person around us. And I just lift up everyone here today and just pray that you would speak to them and show them what you want them to do. And may you speak to our hearts. We love you, God. We praise you and praise you. Bless us in this time of invitation. As all these things we ask.